You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, so we are on chapter 9 of The Great Hope. It's entitled Real Hope. All right, it's been a beautiful book so far, and I trust that you all are being blessed. And you are invited, as always, to read along with us as we go through it. So chapter 9, Real Hope. In a world riddled with despair, from wars and pandemics to broken homes, empty faith, you name it, hope can feel like a myth sometimes. Many people chase distractions, others might try to numb the pain, and some just give up. But real hope is not wishful thinking. It's not just some positive mantra that means nothing. It's not an escape plan. It's a promise that is anchored in something eternal, a lifeline that holds even when everything else falls apart. And so chapter 9 dares us to believe in a hope that is unshakable, unbreakable, and real. And to help us with the review of this chapter, we have joining us on the line, Pastor Marvin Radiepi. My Pastor, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for making time to speak with us this morning, Pastor. Are you doing well?
Yes, I'm very good. And how are you?
Very well. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time. Now, Pastor, let's start off with a review of what this chapter is all about, just a general overview.
All right. According to this chapter, it's basically telling us that the world is riddled with despair. Mm-hmm. In other words, it says, we are living in a world whereby they are full of challenges, a point whereby everyone seems to be disappointed and with little hope or no hope at all. Now, the chapter is driving us to a point of understanding that apart from all those difficulties and tribulations that we go through, Our faith should be centered and hinged to Jesus Christ. It says, even though the world seems like it's giving us nothing at all, but the bottom of the matter is that there is a light beyond the tunnel. Jesus is the one who can give us that hope. He is the one who can solve our problems that we go through. The chapter also emphasizes that we should have faith in Christ, because our faith is anchored in something that is eternal. Continue to say that our faith should be unshakable, unbreakable, and real. So, this kind of hope is only found in Christ. And I was also touched by a statement that says, you know, the world will not give us anything.
Yeah.
It will give us empty promises. And we should not think of something that will satisfy our void in our hearts that comes from this world. It will be, there will be nothing at all. So this world would give us
right. And when we're talking about hope, Pastor, you know, sometimes I think our struggle is trying to define exactly what hope is. Is it a positive feeling? Is it an emotion? What exactly are we talking about when we say real hope? You've told us it should be based on Jesus Christ or rooted in Jesus Christ. But what exactly is it? Is it just having positive feelings about my circumstances, about my negative circumstances? Is it more of an emotion or something else?
Okay. Hope is more than a positive feeling. Mm-hmm. It's more than solving your problems that you are currently going through.
Right.
Like the chapter is saying, hope should be unbreakable and real, and should be rooted in Christ. So hope is looking beyond the circumstances you are going through. And the key point in summary, like you're saying, I should maybe give an overview of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You excuse me, my voice is not clear.
Don't worry, we can hear you clearly. Sorry about that.
Yes. The second coming is the climax of hope.
Mm.
That's what the writer is saying.
Yeah.
So, you know, the writings in Paul that says if resurrection, which is also part of our hope, then our faith is futile.
Mm.
If Christ is not risen.
Yeah.
Because if he is not risen, then he's not coming back again. For the fact that he's risen, then we are sure that he's coming back. And second coming is the climax of our hope.
Beautiful.
We know that he's coming again. Yeah. Even if I die, I know there is hope beyond the grave. Mm. So hope is something that is beyond what we are going through right now.
Mm.
In situations that we are going through, hope surpasses that.
Beautiful. That's powerful. And then also when we look at false hope, because we're talking about real hope, is there such a thing as false hope? Can something like that exist?
Yes.
Where do we find false hope? What does it look like? And how do we try to avoid that?
Okay. False hope was empty promises. In a nutshell,
mm-hmm.
is be shown something that is not true. The writer is giving an example of prosperity gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no problem in getting rich. The Bible says everything belongs to God, and you're supposed to be the head, not the tail.
Mm.
So there's nothing wrong getting rich. But the problem is when now you put your richness ahead of you, before your salvation,
right.
That's where the problem is. When the writer is saying, there are false prophets who are giving us false hope.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They are emphasizing material things to a point whereby now we neglect the most crucial thing, which is personal salvation.
Mm.
So false hope is like, gather things of this world which will satisfy you, but at the end of the day, you will know that ultimately you are not going to be satisfied.
Yeah.
That is false hope.
Mm. And you know, it's common now in this world that's full of false prophets. You know, there's prosperity gospel, toxic positivity, all these things that tell us that everything's going to be fine if you just believe hard enough. But you're saying that real hope is about accepting that things are bad right now. It's not about just pretending like everything is. If you pretend hard enough, then it will become a reality.
That's very true. And you also say things are very bad,
mm-hmm.
and we should not expect any form of correction from this world. This world will not become better as it goes day by day.
Mm-hmm.
It will be worse.
Eish.
Only God will redeem this world.
That's
not politics.
Mm.
Yeah, we are not expecting somebody from this world to redeem us or to give us something positive.
Mm.
But only God. We can have a reassurance that God will be the only one who will solve everything.
Yeah, yeah. That's the difficult part. And when you think about Job and what he says in the depths of his despair, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Sure.
Yeah. That's a powerful one.
Yeah. And I
Okay, sorry.
Sorry, no, go ahead, Pastor.
I was saying the statement that you just said, according to Job, it gives us an idea that we are not immune to temptations and tribulations that we go through.
Right.
As Christians. You know, the world is giving us, we normally call it cheap grace, whereby they say, whatever you do, everything will be good. We're all covered by grace. You can just live as you want.
Yeah.
You are, as Christians, Yeah, set aside that, you know, we just sail through, we'll not go through tribulations. So Paul, Job, in that statement you have said, is simply saying, you go through tribulations.
Mm-hmm.
God is not saying this world is going to be easy. You're just going to walk through. No, you're going to go through hardship. That's where now God will prove himself and vindicate himself through you. But that's what actually the resentment is saying.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, Pastor, Jesus didn't just talk about hope, right? He became the living evidence of hope. And his resurrection turned a sealed tomb into a gateway of eternal life, which then becomes the foundation of Christian hope that death does not get the last word. Like you mentioned before, we know that even on the other side of death, we know that that's not the end of it all, that when Jesus comes again, he will raise us back up into eternal life. So we have that hope. And 1 Corinthians 15:19 makes it clear, without the resurrection, our faith is useless. But because he lives, so can we. Let's focus a little bit on that part, the hope that we get in the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll repeat it again. Jesus is the center of our hope.
Yeah.
He's the cornerstone. Without him, our faith is food.
Mm.
So for the fact that he resurrected, it gives us a green light and we can just boast and say, we know that even if we die, the power that Jesus used to come out of the grave is the same power that he gave us during the time of resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the ultimate hope.
Beautiful.
Hope beyond the grave.
Yeah.
So that's if somebody does not believe in the doctrine of resurrection, then I don't know what kind of hope that person will have.
Yeah.
It's like living without any direction. You are just here and you are gone. So to us as Christians, we know that we fall like a seed on the ground. We know that we are going to come back again.
That's powerful. And without that hope of resurrection, without Jesus coming out of that grave, there's nothing different about our religion from anybody else's religion. There's so many different belief systems, but ours is the only God that we know. He's the only God who rose up out of the grave, who conquered death.
Very true. His tomb is empty.
Yes.
That's what makes us distinct, different from other religions. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Because if he was still in the grave, then there was no need to believe in him.
Exactly.
Yes.
There's no point. I love that. And any final thoughts that you'd like to share? I know we're going to be continuing on with this chapter on Thursday, but for this first part of the chapter, any key points that you want to make sure that we take away from the chapter?
Okay. In general, maybe to re-emphasize, as I said, in general, the writer here is saying the second coming is the ultimate, is the cream of everything, is the foundation, is the ultimate hope. So basically, the chapter gives us a light that our faith is rooted in Christ, and without him we can not do anything. We can't do anything without Christ. So we should always know that what we go through in this world is always temporal. Circumstances that are only temporal. The ultimate thing is that we should look forward to the ultimate second coming of Jesus, which will be our hope.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Pastor, for coming through. I look forward to continuing on with some more lessons as we continue this chapter on Thursday. But for today, thank you so much for coming through. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
All right.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.